Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've just come off a great series. I'm about to begin something powerful, I believe, will bless your life. Something that will help you grow. You know, now we're walking with God. Now, I'm going to talk about our walk with God just now. We're growing, right? We're growing. We come to meetings, we learn, we feast on His Word, we receive of His presence, of His person, you know, and then we grow in our walk. We keep growing. And so, we just keep going forward, learning things. Sunday, we come in on Sundays, we learn new things, we enjoy His presence, and this is another week, and I'm beginning a new series. Something fresh we'll begin to look at next few weeks. I want to talk about beautiful feet, discussions on the believer and the message. I know what I have up there, what I said there was something different, but I was talking about beautiful feet, the discussions on the believer and the message. Beautiful feet. Amen. We just came off talking about victory and our victory in Jesus Christ. I would love you to talk to me today. You have to talk to me today. Don't be calm with me. Don't be quiet. Just talk to me today. Don't be interested. I'm going to be talking, and we're going to be thinking and looking at scriptures and just looking at our place. And so this is going to be something very important. I need to be alive today. Come on, are we alive? Is it good for us to be here? All right. Hallelujah. All right, beautiful feet. We're going to talk about discussions on the believer and the message. Can we take our Bible? I want to begin from the Bible. I didn't want to start from there, but let's do that. Let's just do it anyway. Romans chapter number 10. Let's begin from Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. We will begin from I was preparing for this yesterday, and I was thinking, I was just enjoying myself with my Bible, and I was like, I'm going to shut up the screens one of these days. I'll let you know. Shut up the screens so that you come with your Bible and then you send the Bible. So I said, I think I'll do some practice today. But it's common, easier to just like Romans chapter 10, I'll just move on. But I think we need to learn to turn our Bibles, to read from our Bibles, to have that hard copy where we can mark the Bible. There's a lot of reasons why you need to have a hard copy Bible. A lot of reasons. It's good you read from your phones, you can take your phones everywhere. That is good. But there's something about this thing. You have to have that. So you can mark, you can write, you can note, you can reflect. And so when you are with your Bible, a message can pop up your phone somewhere. But when you can be reading, say, Pastor, I read my Bible with my phone. You know what happens when a message comes up. You know, it comes on the screen, right? It comes over the screen where you are reading. You see the message. Something comes up. You have to slide it off or something like that. But you go, so imagine you are reading the Bible and an angel of the Lord is about to speak to you. He just wanted to say, look at, then somebody just sends you a message. Ta-dam, ta-dam. Then the angel of the Lord just says, can't do that. So I think when you have a hard copy, you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to just be focused and you keep your phone somewhere. So it would be nice to have a hard copy. Right? They're not supporting me, but it would be nice to have a hard copy. It'd be nice. So have a hard copy. Read from that copy. Read from that. Take it everywhere you go. It's going to be beautiful. It's important. All right. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13. That's not my message today. So one day, I'm telling you, you know, and when this is popping in my head, I really do them more. I think about them this week, next week, then. Bam, I'll do it. Then we're just going to say, no screen, just forget the thing. And then you look over, hey, where's Romans? So, where's that trouble that day to be interesting? All right. No screens. Okay, no screens. Okay, no screens, no phone, too. I mean, no screens, no phone, too. You come with your hard copy Bible, you go to need that. No phone. You say, hey, it's going to be interesting. I'll let you know, like I said, then we will do it. How you say this pastor? That's just how I am. He says, it's old school. Fire as of old, power as of old. Abi, when it comes to Bible, is as of new. You know what? We must go as of old. You sure it should be scrolls? Scroll. You come to a scroll of Isaiah. All right. See, this thing is cool. So let's stay cool. No need to be stiff. Today is that kind of thing. If I want to preach fire and thunder, you will know already that this message goes sweet. You go there, okay. So that's why I'm like this, right? All right. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. Alright, so that's my context, and that's what I'll be speaking from the next few weeks. It is important that believers that we understand that the Christian message, the gospel message, the good news is not soul winning. Talking to people about Jesus is not a function, it's not a church growth function. It's not about growing church. It's not about a church growth target. Talking to people about Jesus, living and preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel is not about, actually, it's not about a church system. It's not a church. From what we read just now, you see that the object here of the message is the people. It's talking about the people. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, right, shall be saved. Somebody will call upon the name of the Lord. But the question is, how shall they call upon him? So the focus is not about us, it's about them. It's about the people out there. It's about the world. It's about the people who don't know Jesus. It's not about us. But we know that when they come to know Jesus, they come to associate with the church, with the people, with the gathering, with the community. That is important. But the believer must understand, and this is where we have this thing that doesn't allow us preach the gospel, that doesn't allow us share the gospel. Right? It is as if that it's a target. You have to be told. It's a goal. You have to try to hit. And so it's a scheme. If you want to grow the church, then we must now do soul winning. But that is not the case at all. That is not the truth. The idea here is that the preaching of the gospel is a function of the believer. It's a function. It should be organic. It is organic. It's a function of the believer. It's organic because he does it normally. He doesn't even need to try to do it. He should do it because of the people. Because of the people out there who don't know Jesus. Right? Because of them, he should do it. And so I want to talk to us about this function, this thing that should be organic, this thing that should be real in our lives. My push for that is when we read in verse number 15, when Paul says, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. So Paul, in this verse, he ties the preaching of the gospel to the feet. How beautiful are the feet? He just ties it to the feet. And so he doesn't talk about preaching the gospel and people being saved, coming to Jesus. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, remember, right, shall be saved. He doesn't tie it to a church. He doesn't tie it to a scheme. He ties it to the feet of the person who preaches the gospel. So I just began to say, okay, let us look at the feet. Let us understand why, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel? Why? Why not any other thing? He could say any other thing. He could talk about their head. We'll get to the other place. But he could talk about it as a matter of structure, as a matter of a scheme for soul winning, for a group, for a community to grow, to increase. No. He says it's about the feet of them. It means now, are you still here? It means now that everywhere they go, they just preach the gospel. Paul is not looking at it as a matter of something to do as a scheme, but something that they live because they have feet. So it says, how beautiful are the feet? And then we'll look at that in earnest. So we'll look at that in earnest. When he talks about, we'll talk about the feet. So it is for us. Now, this introduction, so it stresses you to stay. I'm sure that's why you're looking at me like that. So for us, the first thing that comes to my mind, that should come to your mind, is we talk about our walk with God. This is why I told you it's not a scheme. This is why I said this is not Paul's conversation. If you read 13, 14, 15, that's not Paul's conversation at all. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon him on whom they have not heard? So they have to hear. And then he doesn't say they have to hear, then we have to do that. No, he just says the thing is, it's there everywhere. The feet of them that preach the gospel. Right? And so, when we come to the feet of them that preach the gospel, the first thing, stay with me now, I'm working hard now. The first thing that comes to your mind about the feet of them that preach the gospel, it is that these people, they have been, it's about a walk, right? These people, they've been walking with God. They have a walk with God. We talk about our walk with God. That's our feet. We are walking with God. Right? In Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 24, the Bible says, in Genesis 5, 24, it says, it'll be faster when we use the screen. Hey, so before we put turn, before we get there, it's faster. But we'll still read the Bible one of these days. It has entered my head. I don't know. I can't stop it. I'm still thinking about it. Alright, Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 24, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. Right? So we see that walk with God. And when a believer, when they're talking to you about your Christian walk, they're talking about your Christian life, they're talking about your Christian walk. That is, they're again alluding to your feet. They're talking about your feet. Somehow, it's about your feet when you're talking about your relationship with God. Are you still walking with God? How's your walk with God? They are considering your feet. Now, in that same feet, Paul is saying, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. So, I want to show you that that your walk with God is directly connected to your walk for God. It's connected. That is why it is the feet. It is, how beautiful are the feet. Your walk with God is very much connected to your walk for God. So anybody that has a walk with God, right, automatically, organically, normally, naturally, would have a walk for God. Come on. Because of the feet. Feet speaks about followership. Followership. Feet speaks of followership. So he follows, he walks with God. He's following God. If he's following God, who do you think God will send when he has a message to give to somebody? It is the person who is following him. So automatically, the follower becomes the messenger. That's why I see Paul says, how beautiful are the feet. He ties it to the feet. He says, if you have a walk with God, if you are following God, then you are walking with him, then you would also have a message from him. You have a message from him. It's connected. So somebody says, so Pastor, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower. Then I would say, if you are walking with him, then you are his next messenger. He calls you, you walk with him, and then he gives you a message for the people around you. For the people around you. It's not a scheme, it's a normal thing. So it would be easy to say that it is, if you have a walk with God, the proof of your walk with God is that you have a message from God. That every believer who has a walk with God, using his feet, would also have a message from God for the people around him. He should also carry the message of the gospel of peace. Are you here? It is in this followership that you become a messenger. Every true follower who walks with God would have a beautiful feet. The feet is beautiful because this feet has walked. These feet walk with God. Come on. The feet is beautiful because of the message. We'll get to all that point. But also because it walks. This person has been walking with God. You find one thing, you admire people who bring the gospel to you. You admire people who teach. You know, maybe we can call pastor. I don't want to call him. If I call a name, you say, why did he call the other name? So, our gospel preachers over here in Nigeria, and they're preaching and doing all that kind of stuff, and you admire them, right? But you see, it comes out of their walk with God. So you look at their walk with God, and then they have a walk for God. They have a message. So this person is coming and he's doing so much, and people are coming and they're listening to that message, and you're looking, oh boy, that man is doing so much work. But he's doing so much work because he has a walk with God, a kind of a walk with God. And so if we have a kind of a walk with God at all, any kind of walk, we'll get to the feet. I'm going to focus more as we go on. Any kind of walk with God, it will also have a message from God. So it is imperative, it is important that we understand that the believer who has a walk with God will also have to walk for God. He takes some steps. Those steps, the feet he used to walk with God, the same feet that he will use to preach the gospel. Are you here? This is important we see that. You know, I was glad, the psalmist said, I was glad when he said, let us go to the house of the Lord. We would urge believers to be glad, right, to walk, to come to the house of the Lord. We urge them to be glad to come. I was glad when they said, let us go. So we are going to go together. So if we are going to the house of the Lord. Come on, just stay with me. Stay with me. We're going to. Somebody says we're going. We're going to walk some way. We're going to get transport. We're going to walk to church. We're going to be going to church. We're going to walk to church. And then we should be able to say, I was glad when they say, let us go for God. It's the only logical thing. If we walk with God, we are glad to go to church, we should be glad to go for God. If we are glad to go to church, so and this is to draw everyone, everybody. This is to draw you to soul winning. This is to encourage you to talk to somebody about Jesus. This is to encourage you to say, see, Jesus loves you. This is to encourage you to shine your lights. Shine the light of God Christ in you for somebody around you to see. Your workplace, again, your feet speaks of presence. It speaks of presence. You are everywhere. Everywhere you go, you go there with your feet. Are you here? It's encouraging. You step up. Speak to everybody about Jesus. Because you have a relationship with Jesus in your walk with God. You see. So, the believer becomes the messenger. It's automatic. It's like an automatic something because he will not send somebody that is not with him. Come on. If you want to send, you know how it's done at home. You know how it's done at home. Come on. Are you still here? Alright, it's good. I think I see here. You know how it's done at home? Just look around. John! I know that there's someone. Then Blessings answered and says, John is not at home. Guess who will call next? Blessing! So it is because, it is actually because of your walk with God that you become the messenger. The believer becomes the messenger. It is the only logical thing. It is the person who is nearest to me I will call. So, I'm in the office and I want somebody to help do something. And I'm not seeing anybody, but I just say, maybe I hear footsteps. Who's there? You say, hey, Pastor, it's me. I say, yeah, come. I don't care. Because you are nearest to me. So if we have a walk with God, come on, brethren, this is simple. This is ABC. We have a walk with God. We have a relationship with God. Then we should open up our hearts, hear His voice, and know that obviously He will call you and send you to the people around you. You are called. You are sent to the people around you. And that's the logical thing. That's what foolishness. You just be around Him, and then He looks and He says, I want to talk to James. And then He just calls you, talk to James for me. He will send you because you have a walk with God. So because you are a believer, precisely because you are a believer, then you become a messenger. That's how the believer becomes the messenger. He becomes the messenger because he has a walk with God. He's not a messenger because he's a pastor. Come on. He's not a messenger because he's a pastor. He's a messenger because he's around. Are you around God? Because I don't want to be around him. You see, that's the problem. Around him, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Around him is message also. We send him message. Around God. So if we're around God, we become the messengers. If you're around God, then you are a messenger. You are God's messenger. He sends you. He sends you. He says, go for me. Because you're around. I don't care who is there. I'm there and I'm saying, I heard footsteps and I say, who is there? And somebody comes, I don't say, are you pastor or evangelist or a choir leader guy? Please go and call Pastor Evan for me. I send you. I don't care. If you are passing through that place and you're like, oh, how are you? You don't say, no, I'm not a pastor. Yeah, I can't send you to just go and call somebody for me in church. Presence. Precisely because you are His child, because you are present. So are you present? Are you here? Alright, let's look at some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I want to show you this and connect our presence with Him and our victory and our joy with our message. You see, there's a connection, clear connection. Clear connection. Now, look at this. Thanks be unto God. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. He causes us to triumph in Christ, right? And make it manifest the savour of his knowledge. By who again? By us. This same us. It's not a different us. It is the same us. The same us who triumph in Christ. He causes us to triumph in Christ. It is the same us he makes manifest the savour of his knowledge in every place. The same us. Come on. We'll do it again. Look at it. It's clear. It's the same us. Now, thanks be unto God, because we take the first part. I've had meetings on the first part of that verse. Meetings. Hours of teachings. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Come on. We triumph in Christ. Thanks be unto God. It's not about us. I preached it. Thanks be unto God. It's not about us. Thanks be unto God. He causes us to triumph. We might not be able to triumph, but he causes us to triumph. Glory to God. And we don't do that. We just forget the other part. But that's what I'm trying to say. There's a connection. Because he causes us to triumph, to walk in triumphant procession. To triumph. We walk in triumphant procession. It is the same us. And he make it. You see how he does the two? Do you see that now? The two are together. It is precisely because we come and we pray for victory. We come and we cry for victory and to triumph. And we want to have a relationship with him so that we can enjoy the good things there. But it is the same us. And he maketh manifest the savour of what? His knowledge. By who? By us. He's not going to give us the victory and make savour of his knowledge by another group of people. He's not. And that's the issue. So we are coming to God. We know we come to God and we think that he can cause us to triumph, and then he can make the survival with knowledge by another group of people. No, us. So if you are in the first us, you'll be in the second us. You'll be in the second us. It's there. Now, thanks be to God, we already caused us to triumph. If you say, I'm in that us, it's me that God caused to triumph. I say, thank you, brother, thank you, sister. Then I'll tell you, let's read on. And he maketh manifest his knowledge. That is the preaching of the gospel. That is the beautiful feat. That is the beautiful feat. That is the beautiful feat. He makes manifest the savour of his knowledge. Come on. By us. You see where it says, come on. You see that place? Every place. That is the feat. Come on. The beautiful feat. We go everywhere. Everywhere we go, we triumph. Come on. Everywhere we go, we triumph. You know why? Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Right? And now, he says, and make manifest the sum of his knowledge by us in every place. Every place is always also. Every place is always. It's the same thing. Because every place you are always there. So always, we are preaching the gospel. It's not a matter of pastor or anything, because the triumph is not only for the pastor. The triumph is not only for the worker. The triumph is for all of us Christians. Then the savour of knowledge is for how many of us now? The triumph is for all of us Christians. The savour, making knowledge, making the savour of knowledge in every place is now for all of them pastors. But the truth is, I don't like to do this because you have to. I don't do this all at once. I have to throw scriptures together and make it work. But the truth is, if you are not making known the Sabbath knowledge everywhere, then you also do not partake of the triumph. That's a problem, and that's. I mean, well, simple logic will give you that. Or let's not go backwards. Let's go forward. Can we go forward? Forward, I mean now, let us say we are enjoying the triumph in Christ Jesus. So I'm saying that the only logical thing that follows is the and. And you should talk to somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. It is the and. It follows it. It follows it. So the work, the faith that joins Christ in the triumphant procession. Christ defeated the devil. Jesus defeated the devil. And now we join in his procession of triumph as we go everywhere, always, every time. We triumph in Christ Jesus. Now, that same feet, come on, that did that procession, should also go everywhere and manifest, make manifest the savour of his knowledge every place, everywhere, every time. You are always where you are, right? Every place. If you are in every place, then you are always there. And when you are always there, you spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ there, you experience the victory of Jesus Christ there. It's connected. This is not me trying to make something. This is the scriptures I'm trying to show you. The beautiful feet. Because many a times, the issue we have is that we come, and you know, I've always said, what pastor, we're not just going to just be like, do this or do that stuff by some people or something. I don't do that. I like to stick to the scripture. I'm a stickler for the word of God. And it's not about, I just felt in my prayers, Lord, what are we doing here? Wake the church up to the glad tidings of good things. And I was praying, wake the church up to the glad tidings. Oh, make the church up to that preaching of the glad tidings. That's this year. Remember, glad tidings of good things. And so, I just pray, and then let him speak to me on what to talk to you about. And that's what I'm talking to you about. It's a function of your Christian walk. It's a real function. It's a real function. Jesus called the disciples, called 12 to him. We call them apostles, right? And then those apostles, he sent them out. He sent them out. It is normal when you have a relationship with God. In fact, it's proof you have a relationship with God when you go out for God. Because it is clear that you are near me, so that's why I sent you. Come on. You are near me, that's why I sent you. If he can't send you, if he says he's not sending you, the truth is that your proximity is in question. If he calls you and you cannot answer, it means you are far from him. And if you are far from him, then it will mean that you would have issues in your life. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We know that scripture. We need to be near him. And so if we are near him, and then he has the burden in his heart, then he gave his son. And now, I love Rick Warren puts it this way. He says, now we are sons of God. What do you think he will do to us also? He gave the first one. He gave that one freely. He didn't think about it. He didn't cry. He didn't cry. He sent Jesus to die. He knew he was going to die. So what do you think he will do to you now? He said, I'm a son of God. Then he says, thank you very much. I have a message for you. Well, we're quick to claim that part, but we don't always go to the other side and where we see our responsibility. I said, soul winning, preaching the gospel, talking to people about Jesus should be organic. I don't want to say responsibility because it says your feet. Paul doesn't make it look like as if it's one load, your body you carry. It just says as far as you are there, every place, just be talking to me about Jesus. Are you here? Discussions on the believer and the message. That what I just said speaks of followership, and that followership speaks of the messenger also, speaks of the message and messenger. Number two, if you are taking notes like that, I don't know, I just put asterisks, I didn't put number. Fifth, makes it clear it's not about the individual's ability, skill, or possession, or mind. When he says, how beautiful, can you go back to Romans chapter 10? I'm done with this point. Romans chapter 10, 15. This is just to lead me. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? He says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? You see that Paul here talks about the feet. He doesn't talk about the ability of the person. He doesn't talk about the skill of the person. He doesn't talk about the face. He doesn't talk about the possession. He will talk about how beautiful are the clothes. He says, how beautiful are the feet? Not the face. Come on. The feet is the part that is not really comely. You know, when you're looking at somebody, you look at the face, say, man, this lady is pretty. Come on. Guys, forget the ladies. Guys, you understand what I'm talking about? Man, this lady is pretty. You really don't go to feet. Nobody really cares about feet. Now, but for Paul, I want to show something. For Paul, when he says how beautiful are the feet, we'll go to beautiful, but consider the feet, and he says they are beautiful. Anyway, we'll look at beautiful in time. But how beautiful are the feet? The focus on feet today is already interesting. Because in Paul's time, like I've seen some of you now, we are wearing sandals. They wear sandals. They don't have shoes to cover all the shoes. They wear sandals. Right? That's Paul's time. They wear sandals. And again, you might not say, so it's not so bad. No, it's very bad. because of the means of transportation. Donkeys, camels, horses, everywhere. That's the means of transportation. Means the road where you are walking. You know what I'm talking about? The horse, where it does go, it does dump dung on the floor. See, all of them the same thing. So you can imagine Paul's talking about the feet, that part of the walk, not the person. He's not talking about the mind of the person. The person must be intelligent. Somebody says, so pastor, you know, I didn't go to school. It doesn't have anything to do with it. You have legs. You have legs. He said, pastor, I don't have money. He doesn't say the clothes. He says the feet. Now we're even talking about, Paul is talking about feet, I'm talking about sandals, I'm talking about dung, I'm talking about debt, right? What about if you don't even have sandals, but you have legs? My dad, I've told you, there's something my dad did for me. I'm giving this guy, giving it to you now for free. For free. I told my dad, medical school, you have to go, we're going 6 years. So, by 4 years, I had my towel. The towel I got when I was in 100 level. So I was in 400 level. And at 400 level, we were feeling like we were on top of the world because our colleagues were saying they wanted to graduate. We just started clinical practice. It's 400 level. That is 400 level where somebody's graduating and say, hey, I'm a graduate, fine, I'm pouring water. We can't say it because that's the first time you are going to the clinic for clinical practice. So it was making us be like, oh, you guys are children. We are just starting our work now. We're going to do that. So I got home and I told my dad that I had this towel since 100 level. You know, you go to school, they buy everything for you new. And I took to school. And I said, I'm now in 400 level. I'm not a big boy. So I'm thinking that my towel should change. And he said it doesn't have anything to do with the time you have been in school. Does the towel still dry your body? I said, yes. He said, then go and use it. Because it's not about our time. You use that towel, it dries your body. Say, yeah. And I was like, okay, I can't say no because the towel dries the body. But I just felt, you know, that phone, I think we're going to start life afresh. Now we are big boys, we should buy everything afresh. I see now I want to start school. You know, that's what they tell us in clinic down, like you are starting school now. So you do that. And I thought, when I went to him, he did that to me. And then he said, see, my father didn't train me in school. So the small he could give to me, he gave to me. And so one day, I mean, this is the only reason why he gave me that kind of answer. This is why I gave you the answer I gave to you. Because me, I told my father too, one day, that my shoes are bad. And my father said, the book they are teaching you, is he entering from your head or from your leg? And he had to answer his father from his head. Then he says, that your shoes are okay. that's terrible. I mean, cool answer. I can't forget those things in my life. Guys, I think if you brainwash me, that thing will be there. I mean, it's talk like, it might make sense. Who? Farmer, it makes sense. I'm not buying shoes. They are teaching you in your class. Is it passing through your leg or through your head? I mean, the man was a farmer. And then you have to say, your son says, let me say, okay, please, I will buy it now. Buy it now. He had an answer, a ready answer. Very intelligent man. And then the man gave me my own too. The towel, does this situation where I say, yes, they go and use it. It doesn't matter how the years you have used it. Paul doesn't talk about the dressing of the person. He doesn't talk about the face of the person. He talks about the feet. So the man, the head, the brain. In fact, are you still here? In fact, the truth is the brain, the head, the mind gets in the way of the preaching of the gospel. The real problem is that the mind gets in the way. You're not supposed to carry the message and be the messenger and deliver it. Your mind is not supposed to be involved. But when you think that the message is, if Paul had said the mind, you would have said, I didn't go to school. Paul would have said, you don't see the person preaching the gospel. That's how, you know, when I talk about preaching the gospel and somebody says, the man has to be rich, he has to be this to preach the gospel. You obviously don't read the Bible correctly. It doesn't make sense. Because it's not about, the message is more powerful than the messenger. The messenger comes with a good message and we say, oh, bless the messenger. He comes and says, you are saved. The God reigns. You are, the enemies have been defeated. Guess what? We say, get him a cup of cold water. Give him water. Give him stuff. Give him a seat. Let him sit. You see? Because he brought what? A good message. It's not about the way he looks. It's not about the fact that he's panting, he's sweating, he's tired. The message. It's more important. So Paul takes everything and says defeat. And when Paul says defeat, I want you to consider it's not about our time. That's what I told you. How there's dung on the floor. There's dung everywhere. It has, I mean, they are rearing animals. The means of transportation is donkey, horses. There's dung everywhere. And then it says, how beautiful are the feet? It doesn't allude to our skill, our mind, our intelligence. It just alludes to the fact that we are there. We are present. We have feet. Are you here? That's so good. Take your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Acts 4:13. The clothes can get in the way. Possessions can get in the way. The face can get in the way. The brain can get in the way. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and what? Ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them because, you see again, they had been with Jesus. So, the Peter and John we are talking about, they had a walk with Jesus. They walked with Jesus and so they carried a message for Jesus. Though they were what? Ignorant men. How beautiful are the feet? Beautiful feet. I'm trying to say this so that you see that you are capable. You should preach the gospel. You should. Because you have feet. Don't say how they were intelligent men. They were ignorant men. Ignorant. I mean, that's an insult. Ignorant means they don't know anything. Nothing. Bland. They say, you are very ignorant. He doesn't like you. He just insulted you with style, with good English. Let's go and look at them. Ignorant men. But they've been with Jesus. And so, they are bold and they are sharing a message. They are giving a message. They are sharing a message. They are bringing a message. They've been with Jesus, the ignorant men. The feet, not their faces, not their clothes. So when we say feet, it makes it clear. It's not a matter of the individual's ability, his skill, his possession. Pastor, I don't have money. Feet, you have legs. My shoes are somehow. You have legs. Come on. And now in this day and age, we talk about manicure and pedicure. Yeah. But then when Paul wrote this thing, there was no pedicure. Nothing. There was dung. There was death. That is why you know the story. Come on. Are you still in church? You know the story of the woman that came and wiped and used the tear, her tears. Tears first and then her hair, the feet of Jesus, right? Remember that story? You know the story again. You know why Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He didn't wash their face. He didn't wash their body. That's the feet. That's the dirty part. That's the part that is dirty. I want you to walk with me. I want you to walk with me. But now, we see Paul take the feet and say, it is this feet that goes out in the gospel message. Are you here? So, we've talked about number one. What did I say number one? The feet speaks of followership. In followership, we talk, you become the messenger. Right? And in number two, I said the feet makes it clear. Feet makes it clear. Feet, I just put feet makes it clear. It's not about the individual's ability, skill, or possession, or his mind. As long as you can walk with the Lord, then you can carry his message. As long as you can walk with the Lord, you can carry his message. So this thing of this message is not my, it's not my business. It's not true. It's not true. It's your business. You have a walk with God, then you become his messenger. You say, I'm not intelligent, you are still his messenger. I don't have money, my clothes are not fine, you are still his messenger. I'm not so intelligent. Peter and John were unlearned, and they were unlearned. They were not just unlearned. That's why you could understand the word. Go look it up. They were unlearned, eh? And ignorant. That's it. You could sell them and give them the change, they'll take it. I know you might say, I'm saying it's that bad. They don't know. They don't know. They were unlearned. They were not just unlearned. They were ignorant. I mean, things that were happening, they didn't know what was happening. That you don't know what's up. Since they stop, you don't know. For your front. That bad. They were not just unlearned, they were ignorant. But they have been with Jesus. They had a walk with Jesus. And so they carried the message. Jesus did not say, this one is not qualified. That one is not qualified. They had beautiful feet. His feet is beautiful because it's been with the master. With the master. Hallelujah. I hope I'm getting my points across. I know, not a shouting something, but it's important that you see it, you understand it. Now, when you understand it, you'll be able to actually wake up and go about your message. Yes. You should be able to do it. Someone says, I cannot do it. The truth is that, do you have a walk with God? Do you have a walk with God? That's the question. That's the real question. Do you have a walk with God? Because if you are not going to do this, then you might as well don't have a walk with God. That's the truth. Because you have a walk with God, He will say, do something. And so you see, this walk with God, do something, it's not about church growth. It's about your Christian life. It's about you being a Christian at all. Being a believer, having a relationship with God. That's what it's about. So I would want every member of Word Pastor Church, and those who have joined us also, and those who listen to this message subsequently, to see their relationship with God, the point, that connection between their work with God and their work for God. And see that it's not a matter of, they said we should win souls in church. It doesn't connect. We should talk to people about Jesus. And obviously, you want to bring them to church. That is important. You want to bring them to where you fellowship. You want to bring them to where you receive the word. That is that. But it is not, that is not the goal. The goal is, it is your life. It's an organic function. It is something that you should do because you have a walk with God. I would want every member of this church to rise up and talk to people about Jesus everywhere. And then you could be, listen to me, you are in Kogi State. You have the opportunity to be in Kogi State. And you still talk to somebody about Jesus. It's not about the fact that he must be in church with you on Sunday, but that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, right, gets to that person. Because you are there. Because you are there. Everywhere you go. Everywhere. Because you are there. You could be anywhere. And then you are just, it's normal. That's somebody saying sometime, anywhere you see me, talk about Jesus. You know, but that's true. Anywhere you see me, anywhere. You could be in anywhere, any states. Travel abroad. And then you are still talking about Jesus. That's not a church growth scream. Somebody just lives here and then talking about Jesus, talking to people about Jesus and all that is not about, it's off. Why? Because I'm not around. What if I'm not around, I have to do with it. It's your lifestyle. It's what you should do. Everywhere you go. And the person I'm talking to is just passing through. He's just passing through. He's coming through and he's traveling next week. He just came to visit the friend. Right, the friend, and then they are my neighbors, so I just saw them. Brother, can I talk to you for some time? I just want to talk to you about Jesus. I just talk to you, and then he's traveling the next day. Do you know what you have done? You have given Jesus to him, the gospel, and now he has taken that gospel, that word, with him, and then goes somewhere, and then maybe somebody waters it. Come on, maybe somebody waters it, or maybe what you have given is sufficient, and it grows. And tomorrow, that person has a relationship with God. I mean, we'll get to heaven and we'll see how blessed what we have done is. That's the truth. That's how it should be. I preached. Come on. Since he's traveling, I'm not going to invite him to church. That's nonsense. If we preach only on that basis, then we'll let some people go to hell for no good reason, other than the fact that they are not with us here right now, and then they can't come to church. So therefore, when I see anybody, people come around the church and you come, I do my best. You'll not be here forever. But what I've given to you, the seeds I've planted in your heart, I trust God that it will work in your heart and to produce fruit, whatever. Anyway, that's the message. Somebody says, what about the church? I mean, I have people, it will be a blessing to people here and there. People come, maybe are passing through or something. And like, I just love this church. And maybe they're following online, maybe they're doing all that kind of stuff. But yeah, online now, we can do a lot of work online. You can keep following online. But the truth is this, it's about giving the gospel. It's about teaching the word of God, giving people the word of God. It's organic, that's how it should be. It's not a scheme. If you are doing it as a scheme, then you will do it sometimes, and then you will even get tired. But it's not a scheme, it's a lifestyle, it's an organic something. Beautiful feet. Right? Beautiful, why? Next point, it's beautiful. It says, how beautiful are the feet of them? Why is it beautiful? It's beautiful because of the message. It is the gospel of peace. It's beautiful because it is the message of glad tidings of good things. That's why it's beautiful. It's beautiful because the message is beautiful of what the message does for the hearer. So, because the feet cannot be beautiful. Not in Paul's time. You can't be talking about people walking like that. And that, there's no way. That you can be fine. And that's why you watch those movies those days, they carry their rulers on, to carry them on that something there. They don't step there, they don't put their feet down. You see that, right? They don't come there. They can have beautiful feet. They can have, their feet can be fine because they don't touch other chairs. But not for you preaching the gospel and walking everywhere. It's not really possible. It's possible because of the power of the message. It's possible because of the message that you carry. The feet is beautiful. It's possible because that person has spent time with Jesus. It's possible because you have spent time with Jesus. So it becomes beautiful. Are you here? I'll give you three reasons why it's beautiful. Because of the message, because of the time with Jesus, because of what the message does. The message is a beautiful message. It's a message of grace. It's a message of love. It's a message of forgiveness. So what are we talking about? What are we talking about? That Jesus Christ died for your sins. That Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. And now you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are talking about. That's the good news. That's the gospel. We're not condemning anybody. We're not saying you are a bad person. No, we are bringing the news. We're not saying who you are. We're not talking about who the person is. We're talking about what Jesus Christ has done. That's good news. Are you here? The message is beautiful because of what the message does. The message is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Can you move first of all to Romans 10? First of all, I want to show you something in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, where it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that what? Preach the gospel of what? Peace. Right? The gospel of what? Peace. And bring glad tidings of what? Good things. Right? So, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? You see that there? Now, go to Romans chapter 1 and you see it in verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation. When we talk about the gospel of Christ, what are we talking about? We are talking about the power of God unto salvation. The power of God that brings salvation to what? To everyone that believeth. So once he hears what you are carrying, the message, what it does to the person is that it brings the power of God to bear in that person's life. You see, it's beautiful. Because the individual who's carrying the message you said is defeat, he might not be intelligent, might not be wealthy, might not be skilled, but come on, he carries the gospel. When he carries the gospel, guess what? The power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It is. The gospel itself is what? The power of God unto salvation. Demonic oppression. Come on. Demonic oppression. Family issues. Generational issues. All are dissolved by the power of God, which you carry in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see? So, it's beautiful. You become beautiful. Spend time with Jesus, you become beautiful. Spend time with Jesus, you carry his message of peace. Spend time with Jesus, and come on, you carry the power of God. In your words like that. This man is not intelligent, but he carries the power of God. This man is not intelligent, but he has spent time with God. This man is unlearned, he's ignorant, but he has spent time with God. And so we say, beautiful feet. Are you still here? Thank you, Jesus. Naturally dirty, but it's beautiful. It becomes beautiful for these three reasons. Maybe there are many other more, but these three, they are simple and things I could just draw out for you. Beautiful feet. I want us to pray in the next few minutes. We'll look at some others when we come next week. I'll leave us here today. But I want us to pray. I want us to see our place. I'll see our place in the kingdom of God. I want to see the preaching of the gospel not as a church something. Not that a church something. It's not a church thing. I want to see, I want every member, this is my prayer, through the course of this teaching. And this is my prayer that you would wake up and you would know, you would just see it as your responsibility. You're not going to be pushed. Games, you can play all manner of games. We can do things. do this. Okay, let me not say game. Sorry. That's somehow coming out wrong. We can do a scheme and make you and say, okay, two souls this month, one soul this month. There's nothing wrong there. In fact, you can do. It's not like you can do that if you want to do that. But can we wake up and say, soul winning, talking to people about Jesus and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is my responsibility because I am a Christian. Because I have a walk with God. It's not something that is shoved upon me. It's not something that is given to me to carry. And say, you are saved to serve, which is not a bad thing again. Every member is a minister. Not a bad thing. We can do that. I said they're not bad things, but the church needs to grow up. We need to just grow out of that place. Where you get saved, you meet Jesus. Just for some few moments. Like the woman that met Jesus by the well. She met Jesus by the well. This woman, she was a kind of a person. She had had five husbands. John chapter number 4, you know the story. She had had five husbands. She was a kind of a person. She couldn't come to the well with the other women because they wouldn't want to associate with her. She's not been able to keep her husband. She was even about to leave the one. She said, the one you are with right now is not even your husband. Come on. But she spent some few moments with Jesus. And then she had beautiful feet. She went back into the city. And she began to share and say, come and see a man who have told me everything I've ever done. I mean, it could just be the Messiah. She dragged everybody to Jesus. That's how it should be. It was not a target. She didn't have a target. She didn't have a membership target. She didn't have a membership target. She just spent time with Jesus. She met Jesus. She met Jesus. And Jesus touched her. And bam, knelt into her feet. She was not intelligent. She was just a woman. And they were not elevated in those days. They were just housewives. You didn't want to hear from them. She didn't have the personality to preach. She didn't have she was not very not wealthy, not rich. She was just there. But she met Jesus. And she went about talking to people about Jesus. But when we come to church today, people who have been in church for 5 years, 3 years, 8 years, we have to tell you, we have to give you a target. We have to make it real. We have to give you slogan and make you know. It should be real in your heart because you have met Jesus. You have a walk with Jesus. You walk with your feet. You walk with God. We walk with Jesus. That's how it ought to be. That's the truth. He says, so, but why don't I? It's not about what anybody is. It's what I'm teaching you now from the Word of God. Thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph. And He makes known the Sabbath with knowledge through us in every place. That's how it is. That's what the church should wake up to. You don't need 15 years in church. You don't need you just need to have spent time with Jesus. We get Bible school degrees so that we can have a certificate. And I tell people without stress, I don't have one. I don't have one. I just have a relationship with Jesus. All we've done, we are set. You should know this. We are opening up another church in BDPA very soon. It's part of the plan. We have 3 churches already going on. Spending so much. I don't have a certificate. I don't have a certificate from anywhere. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. And from my relationship and my conversations with Him that He speaks to me. And again, I say with humility, but in truth, I'm a doctor of optometry. I have a clinic, a real one. I go to work. I'm the medical director of the whole thing. But I have a relationship with Jesus. And I preach Jesus from my heart to people. Every time, everywhere. You see, it's not about a certificate. It's not about how much you have. It's just about the fact that you have a relationship with Jesus. It becomes an organic thing. It's a normal thing. Talk to your neighbor about Jesus. Talk to your friend about Jesus. Every place in your office, talk to somebody about Jesus. And I just want our church to wake up and say, this is normal for us. I want somebody to say, why are you doing it? He says, it's just normal. Is there a target? They don't send you come for church. They don't send me. You should know Jesus. It's a normal thing. I have beautiful feet. Because I've been with Jesus. I have beautiful feet because the message I'm giving to you now is changing your life, right? And it says, this message is changing my life. I have beautiful feet. That's all. Because the Bible says, I have beautiful feet of them that preach the gospel. See? It's not a scheme. I want us to grow. I want us to grow. I want us to use the word pioneer soul winning as a lifestyle. As a lifestyle, because you have a walk with God. And just be there. Just normal. When you say, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. Please. I don't want to be a leader. What does that have to do with anything? You can't tell somebody about, that the real reason is I don't want to talk to somebody about Jesus. That's all. But it's not possible. It's really not possible. You can't be a Christian, have a walk with God, and not talk to somebody about Jesus. I don't want to be raw, but I've been in meetings where it's that raw and says, you most likely might not even be saved. The truth is, I don't think there's salvation. If you want to discuss biblical and go deep and turn chapter and verse, me too, I will question salvation. Because everybody who have seen light, nobody, if they are sharing 1 million in Ring Road, you will tell your neighbor. Even the people you hate, you will say that. I'm telling you. So there's no way you would have met Jesus. It's not possible. If you think it's almost impossible to somebody to have a light and put it under a bushel, it's not possible. Nobody does that. Nobody will do it. So there's no way you tell me you have a light. It's questionable. Very questionable. So this is an appeal. Yeah, it's an appeal to think, to look at it and say, yeah, I have to step up. I have to do this. I have a light. To say, there's a light. There's a light. That's the truth. There's a light. I'll talk to somebody about Jesus. I'm not, like I said, don't do that, but I just want to teach you. I want to teach you from the Word of God. You can go and say, it doesn't mean, maybe you're correct, I don't know, but from my study, from my scripture, from what I know, it's you just meet him for 5 minutes. He changes your life. You can't keep quiet about it. Nobody does. Nobody does. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. I just see Collins here. I don't know. It's funny, but I see Collins and I see somebody. Just a neighbor, right? I see this lady and this is neighbor. We talk about Jesus. Yeah, I come to my church. I talk to someone about a place to grow and to worship and to meet Jesus. If you were not going to say Jesus at all, probably you would have been talking about church or where to go or where to worship or something like that. It's just beautiful. We should be able to mention Jesus. We should be able to say, this is where I worship. This is Jesus and it's good to me. And then just talk to somebody around you, neighbor, co-worker. People are in search of a place to meet Jesus. People want to meet Jesus. They want to know him more. People everywhere. I know what I'm talking about. When we were over at the shelter, then we had this somebody singing. She's in the choir. She was singing. And then somebody on another compound, was playing the keyboard. And so he heard her singing and started to play her tune. And then she stopped, left her clothes. She was singing and washing clothes. Left her clothes, went over to the next person and said, you are playing my song. And the guy said, I'll play your song, I have a keyboard. And he says, all right. So where do you want? You say, no, we're not in particular. He was in our church, the Garita, 2 years. 2 years. He didn't know where he was going, but he was just there. And 2 years committed, and it was our keyboard. It just came out of our church. People talk about Jesus everywhere. It should be normal. It should be organic. We should be proud to talk about Jesus. We try to help people. Because people don't know where to go. People don't know where to go. I mentioned just now, Dr. Photometry. You will think that in my practice, I have colleagues who have clinics in Benin a lot. And we have big hospitals, big clinics, eye clinics in Benin. But you find that just stay with me. I want to make something and I'm done. This is my last story. I find that somebody has to direct somebody to my clinic. Somebody says, I'm looking for where to check my eye. Really, where to do an eye examination? They're everywhere. Literally, I can stand and just give you there, all around the street. But they don't know. People need somebody to give them direction. They could be in darkness and pain next to you until you speak up and said, I've had the help from this place. Somebody's talking about, I just did my glasses, I just got this stuff, I just got this treatment from this place. I beg, where you get treatment? My mother needs treatment, but we don't know where to go. Never know where to go. Because somebody was just saying, yeah, that's it. Somebody was walking past and heard somebody making call and saying there's an eye issue. And stopped and came back and told the guy, put the call, and directed the person to my clinic. So the person has an eye issue and didn't know where to go. Was talking to somebody on the phone. The guy was walking past in the market. He heard him and stopped and come. And then the person told me, someone's wrong. I said, I don't know the person. Just like, people are in darkness and they need somebody to direct them to Jesus. And we who have met Jesus say they must give us a target first, or must get a Bible school certificate first, or we must this. No. Just say what you know about Jesus. What you have received about Jesus. if it's at all possible, bring them out to church. Direct them. Say, this is where I go. This is where I worship. And then they come around and then they are blessed. And then you come around and then you come around and say, oh, the word of God, I can receive God's word. I can be blessed here and keep coming around. You see? Come on. I pray we bow our heads this morning. I pray that because of the grace of this word, you will become a God, you will have beautiful feet. That your feet, you will have these beautiful feet sharing the gospel everywhere. There will be no fear, not cold feet, but beautiful feet. Not cold feet, beautiful feet. Feet that speak of the goodness of Jesus. Come on. Can you pray this morning and say, Father, I have a walk with you. I have a walk with you. I have a walk with you, and I see now that this is my life. It's normal. It's not something to do as a target. It's not a scheme. Talking to people and bringing them to you is not a scheme. It is because I have been with you. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to have Bible school certificate. I've seen it now. It's not because I'm a follower. A follower becomes a messenger. It is the true followers that become messengers. And Father, today, I see. Speaking about Jesus is not a scheme. It's not. We don't need to do it as something we start on July and end it in August. No, it's permanent. It's for my life. Everywhere I go. From now on, Jesus is a part of my conversation. I have a walk with Jesus. Can you pray this morning? Can you pray this morning? I have a walk with Jesus. I have a walk with Jesus. And because I have a walk with Jesus, because I am a follower, I follow with my feet, I walk with Him, then I am a messenger. I see it now. And Father, I accept, I see it, and so I begin. Come on, I begin to walk as a messenger of Jesus. There are people that need to hear this message. They will only hear it through your lips. There's a reason why God apprehended you. He apprehended you so that you can become a messenger. You are a follower. A follower become a messenger. There's that connection. Jesus. I see it now. It's beautiful feet. Because it's not about my mind. I will not be so intelligent. I'm not a PhD holder. I'm not a market woman. I'm not a businessman doing my business. But I see that it's about my walk. My walk with God is the reason why I have a message from God. Thank you, Father. I need you to accept your responsibility. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray for you. I pray that as God causes you to triumph in every place, that you will also spread his savour of knowledge in every place. In the name of Jesus, I pray that this heart, this consciousness, this mind be in you, to spread and to talk about Jesus everywhere, to bring the gospel of peace to the people all around you. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take these words. May you go beyond these words. Open your eyes to see your place in your walk with Him. That you are a messenger. I pray that the Holy Spirit will use these words and walk something even greater than what I have taught right now in your lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak blessings upon your life. You walk in the triumphant victory of Jesus Christ and spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ everywhere. In the mighty name of Jesus, your week is blessed. Going out, coming in, blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. through you, many will see the light of God. You are the light of the world. And through your life, many will come to know Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.